Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good day to you and welcome. Bill Michaels Show on the air. I'm Bill Michaels. Across from me, Radio Joe Zinzola. A day that you thought, well, we'd be talking about the All-Star game a little bit. Who won? Second half of the season, how the Brewers are going to turn around the six-game losing streak, and how things are then going to be put back on the tracks, and this Brewers team would then be off and running when you talk about winning a National League Central. Instead, we're talking about the tweets. I don't want to say unfortunate. There's too many people that are putting adjectives behind these things. Look, they're stupid. They're stupid. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Josh Hader said the same thing. It was stupid. He apologized for what he did, but it's out there. And it's a lesson to be learned for a lot of people in a lot of different avenues, not just stars or athletes, but I think for everybody that is, about to put something out or hit enter, that once it's out there, it's out there. It's also a lesson for teams specifically that if you don't go over the social media of your players from back when they had its inception, you're crazy, because there's some things out there that can be very damning, as we've now seen. And the team that is now sitting atop the National League Central looks down on the Milwaukee Brewers, and whatever is going to cause the Brewers to either rally around this or disintegrate this season, they're paying very close attention to just south of the border down in Chicago. And there is no better cat down there to talk about the pulse of what's going on in Chi-Town than our buddy Les Grobstein from 670 The Score down in Chicago. Les, how you doing, pal?
Hi, Bill. How things otherwise in the world of the big units this morning?
Well, you know what? We were watching a baseball team that, they had a little bit of a rough spot, and you figure they'd get a rest and turn it around a little bit, and they've been competitive, and I think really most people seem to think that that's the only team that's really going to give the Cubs problems this season. But something like this, you've seen it less over the years. I mean, it either blows a team apart or it's something to rally around, and all of a sudden they catch their second wind and finds a chip on their shoulder to say, damn the torpedoes, full steam ahead. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
They don't need something like this. That's the statement of really of the year so far. I mean, they got enough problems, and now this thing involving Josh Hader is just ridiculous. And what makes it even worse, and of course what he did is the worst. I mean, that you can't defend it, you can't say anything good about it. It's deplorable, it's terrible. But the problem is, one, Hader has not been pitching that well lately. He was part of a bullpen that's been so lights out. More recently, I mean, he was not very good in that series against the Pirates. It was a four-game series. They could have won, conservative about it. They could have won three of those five games. There were a couple they just didn't hit, and then they blew some leads, and Hader had just as much to do with it as anybody. And there's no way they should have come out 0-5 in that particular series against Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And in the meantime, and I wrote about this the other day, the Cubs, since May 29th, the Cubs are 27-16. The Brewers are three games under 500. Hell, even the Reds are seven games over 500. It's the Cubs, though, have really grabbed a hold of this, and they've started to play much better baseball. And that's without Darvish. That's without Chatwood. So you're looking at this team going, okay, they're missing a couple of the guys that they acquired in the offseason, and they're still now getting it done. Is it just strictly because the bats are starting to heat up and their bullpen's been so good?
That's part of it. And you got to remember Rizzo, who has gotten a bunch of RBIs. His batting average is still terrible. And also Chris Bryant. I mean, these two have not been all that. You had to figure if they were as subpar as they've turned out to be for the most part. I mean, they're still dangerous hitters all the time, but A lot of pitchers have gone after him. It's been Javier Baez for the most part. I mean, he's the guy that has really got things. And nobody expected at this point Jason Hayward to hit as well as he did. I've been defending him, and a lot of my callers have been on my case saying, "Ah, get him out of here. He's pathetic." I said, "Leave him alone." Number one, he's the best defensive outfielder on the team, maybe in the National League, and perhaps in the American League as well. And it turns out he's hitting. I mean, the biggest blow he had was a grand slam with two outs and two strikes on him that won a game that looked like they were toast, and all of a sudden he rockets one into the wind against a fellow left-hander. I mean, it was a fellow left-hand pitcher, and that really got him going. And he was doing okay beforehand, but the guy's been hitting about .220 as a Cub this year. Now he's up around, what, .280, .285 in that range, and he's been a heck of a lot different. Now the question is, what's going to happen with the crew? A year ago, the crew had a 5.5 game lead going into the All-Star break, and they didn't go into a nosedive till right afterward, and the Cubs went crazy. They won three straight in Baltimore, followed by three straight in Pittsburgh. And what did the Brewers lose? Something like 5 out of 6 right out of the All-Star break? And a 5.5 game lead for the crew vanished before you could blink your eyes. And from that point on, the Cubs led the rest of the way. The Brewers tried to make a couple of runs, but we all know what ended up happening.
For the most part, this Cubs team's pretty healthy right now, correct?
Reasonably, yeah. I think a lot healthier than we thought. I mean, you still have some pitching issues, and you know, you already mentioned a couple problems. I mean, Hayward has just been terrific. As far as the rotation goes, though, you're talking about Chatwood. He's just been bad. He's just been plain old bad, walking a lot of people, falling behind, and he's not the only one. I mean, and so far, Yu Darvish, he's still not coming back. He keeps claiming, "Oh, I feel better," this and that, but we're not so sure what he's talking about half the time anyway. And I don't know if he ever recovered from that bad World Series showing that he had against the Dodgers. He pitched well against the Cubs in the League Championship Series last year, but the games against, especially Game 7, Dodger fans will never forget about it, and they would love to see him pitch against the Dodgers if somehow the teams match up in the postseason. They're done playing in the regular season, but their pitching rotation is the big problem right now. Their bullpen has been way above what people might have expected, but they have all kinds of difficulties with the rotation. John Lester's been the best that they've got. There have been a couple of others that have pitched okay but subpar. And despite that, Cubs now find themselves 2.5 games ahead of the Brewers in the standings. I wouldn't have thought that would happen with some of the things that have occurred to the Cubs.
Talking with Les Grobstein of 670 The Score down in Chicago. Looking at this team, is really the only threat still believed to be the Milwaukee Brewers? Or do you think with the changeover and Matheny being fired, it might ignite something out of the St. Louis Cardinals and maybe they get a little bit of a resurgence?
Yeah, Matheny had to go from St. Louis's standpoint. I mean, there were too many players that kind of turned on him, whatever, and he succeeded La Russa, and for a while things were going pretty good, and I think a lot of players have turned on him. The fans, they've been calling for his neck for really all season anyway, and the biggest issue, too, was, of course, Dexter Fowler, who's having a real subpar year. Ironically, the first game after Matheny was whacked, who had a big home run in their victory was Dexter Fowler. His only other really gigantic hit all year, he hit a game-ending home run in St. Louis against the Cubs. And that was a game in which Jason Hayward went back into the corner, banged his head, and he was out several games because of that. But right now, Dexter Fowler, he has been kind of a bust out so far. So I don't know if this changeover is going to end up igniting the Cardinals or not, or if they're just not that good.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, when you talked about the offense and some of the players playing above, you know, like Hayward, who's really been hitting the hell out of the baseball, playing above, do you wait for the other shoe to drop, or do you think, okay, this is what we expected out of some of these guys, and now you're starting to fire on all cylinders?
Like I said, I've defended Jason Hayward from the beginning, and a lot of my own listeners that keep saying, "Let it go, he's terrible." And all I've been saying is, well, for once in my life, I'm right, and a lot of you are wrong. So I stand by what I've been saying. I mean, without the guy, they're not in first place right now.
Right.
And you could point to a couple of other. I mean, Javi Baez, if he is not on this team, not doing what he's doing, they're easily below not only the Brewers but the Cardinals. But Javi Baez has carried this team on his shoulders.
Les, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, buddy. I'm sure we'll touch base once the Bears start to hit Bourbon A, and then from there we'll be fully enthralled in Packers and Bears football after that, and maybe even some October baseball. But it's always a pleasure, pal.
Y'all can have Danica Patrick. People down here, she disowned the Bears now because of her affiliation, if you want to call it that.
You know what I wanted to see, Les?
Aaron Rodgers.
She's hosting the ESPYs, and I wanted to see Aaron Rodgers be up for an award and her have to give Aaron Rodgers an award. You talk about an awkward moment now that they have parted ways, I guess. So,
well, she and the Bears have parted ways.
Yeah, well, she's kind of like on an island now. She alienated Packers fans and alienated Bears fans.
The Bear fans are basically saying, you know, she has disowned the Bears. Well, Bear fans have disowned her, too, and they wish her well. They hope that if she, even if it's just if she's retired, if you will, but if she gets behind a race car, want to wish everything well for her. Hope she's safe and sound. But when you pull stunts like that, it's like what Ryan Terrio did when he signed as a free agent with the Cardinals, and he made the comment. He says, "Oh, I'm happy to see that I am now on the right side of the rivalry." Cub fans just hit the ceiling on it. When Terrio appeared at Wrigley in a Cardinal uniform, I need not tell you how much he was booed every time because of that situation. He was a very popular player down here. Mm-hmm. Danica Patrick, I don't know how popular she has been or hasn't been, but now she has disowned the Bears in favor of the Mustang Relish up there north of Russell Road. Are you kidding me?
Oh, well, it is what it is. Now she's on the island. It's always a pleasure, Les. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
See you soon, Bill.
See you there. There you go. Les Grobstein from 670 The Score in Chicago joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they're going to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. When we come back, Major League Baseball has just spoken. We'll tell you what they said coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, The Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad to have you. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends over at New Mail Medical, treating guys with ED with a 98% success rate. And if you got the low T thing going on, if you have it and you're kind of feeling moody, run down, looking for better mood, better mental clarity, better stamina, maybe a little weight loss, they can help you out there, or just the all-in-one weight loss program. That is fantastic, and yes, it works. Call them, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. It's worth a phone call. Can change your life. 414-455-4451. Major League Baseball has now issued a statement regarding Josh Hader, and they said that Major League Baseball, during last night's game, became aware of Mr. Hader's unacceptable social media comments in years past, and have since been in communication with the Brewers regarding our shared concerns. After the game, Mr. Hader took the necessary step of expressing remorse for his highly offensive and hurtful language, which fails to represent the values of our game and our expectations for all of those who are a part of it. The Office of the Commissioner will require sensitivity training for Mr. Hader and participation in Major League Baseball's diversity and inclusion initiatives. Pretty much what we thought. Not going to suspend him for something that he did when he was 17, but they are going to send him to sensitivity training to make sure something like this never happens again. At some point, like I said, Hader's going to come back before the media. He's going to take questions yet again and try to put this behind him. And it's something that right now it's a whirlwind. He's going to have to live with. He's going to have to accept, and he did last night a very good job of, quote, owning it. I just don't know, as Mo Egger from ESPN Radio, who was on with us a little bit earlier, said, what more do people want from him? What pound of flesh is acceptable on different levels? Were you going to say something, Joe?
Yeah, there's a quote here from David Stearns. He says, "We have been in contact with Josh, and he's fully aware of the severity of the situation related to his social media comments regardless of the timeline of his posts. His comments are inexcusable, and he is taking full responsibility for the consequences of his actions. In no way do these sentiments reflect the views of the Brewers organization or our community. Those of us that have come to know Josh do not believe that these posts are representative of his beliefs. He has been a good teammate and contributor to the team in every way. We will continue to work through this issue with Josh as we prepare to resume games after the break. That's from Brewers General Manager David Stearns.
Let's go to the phone call. It's been on hold a long time. KJ's in West Dallas. KJ, how you doing today, man? What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Bill? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Josh Hader will never be able to unring this bell. The stench of these comments and his prior transgressions will live with him forever. Now it's incumbent on him to go forward and try and salvage some of the things off the field, like maybe working in the community in Milwaukee in these certain areas. He comes from Martinsville, Maryland, mm-hmm. which is a predominantly white neighborhood place with 135,000 people at the time when he lived there, about 71% of the population, about 12% African-American and Latino. But, you know, he's probably a product of his environment. The comments that he made on Twitter are very reminiscent of people that are of the ilk of being either Aryan Brother, KKK, or white supremacists. Those are the comments that they make, those type of comments. And he was probably, you know, associated with those people because it's not uncommon, you know, for those small communities like that, especially in the area where he grew up, to be involved in that type of situation. And that's a learned experience and environment. I would have personally never let him speak to the media after that game. He just got through getting rocked in his first All-Star game on the mound. His family was under attack, so to speak, in the stands, and they were, you know, not comfortable with what was going on. And then he gets bombarded with all these questions about his prior social media. If I were his handlers or his representatives or the Brewers organization, I would have not let him make any comments until they could find out exactly, you know, what to say. And you know they're going into damage control, and they will continue to do that at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have definitely not let him speak on that situation last night. Just wasn't a good look either way. Because we live in a soundbite society, and I can see somebody in Canada watching the news today taking a soundbite from one of the reporters asking him, has he changed his view? And when he said no, that's what they're gonna take. That's
sure.
soundbite.
Yeah. You know, no, I agree with that.
So, yeah. So, you know, hopefully, look, he's a great pitcher. I love him on the mound. I don't know what kind of person he was in the past. I hope he can overcome this. But, you know, we celebrate people that are of this ilk, Bill, in this country. Hell, we've got Ty Cobb that's in the Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame. And he was one of the biggest racist, homophobes, and bigots of his time. So let's not pretend like this has never happened before. Have a great day.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it. He drops off and you get on board. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Love to hear from you. It is, as Joe just read, David Stearns talking about they have been in conversation with Josh. And they're going to be. I mean, this is a bad look. I mean, this is a bad look for everybody involved. You know, it's not just for Josh Hader. I mean, this is going to reflect on the Brewers. It's going to reflect on Major League Baseball. You know, now you just kind of wait and see what happens. And I guess the next step is the way this, I can see this playing out is it's just going to kind of quiet down for the next day or two. Then Josh is going to meet with the media Friday, probably before the game. And you're going to have those comments that are going to be out there. I don't know. I hope to God that they do not give him something to read.
No.
Don't do that. Do not do that.
They
would be the worst thing you can do right now. Just make him available. make sure that he kind of is schooled up on what he should and shouldn't say.
They'll prep him for it.
But I'm sure just in listening to the conversations from him last night, he was contrite about, I'm sorry, I don't know what to say. I mean, he just, they even asked him, do you remember saying this? And he's like, I vaguely don't, but, you know, I mean, he said, man, I'm sorry I hurt everybody. You know, I mean, he was pretty upfront. And the one thing that we've come to learn in this society is, if you're pretty upfront about stuff, people tend to forgive you. People tend to go, okay, you know, we kind of get it. The one thing that you can't really, KJ says, unring the bells when it comes to racism. I mean, it's just, you're going to wear that scarlet letter for a long, 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 long time. But at least he owned it. You know, had he tried to get away from it in some way, shape, or form, it would have been terrible. He kind of owned what he did and just said, you know, I was young and stupid and I don't know what else to say. So now we wait for Friday to get here.
But you know what really sucks? Last night was supposed to be a really great moment in his career. His parents, his family, who live in Maryland, you know, just a short little drive to D.C. to be there to see their son pitch. And he goes out there, he gives up that home run, which really hurt. And then the avalanche that came after that. That last night was supposed to be a great moment for Josh Hader.
Yeah.
And instead, everything backfired. And it sucks for his family to be escorted away, to take off their Brewer jerseys with Hader on the back and wear just generic Brewers jerseys, you know, just so that they don't receive any outlash from anybody. Man, oh man.
Yeah.
Just sucks.
It does.
It sucks.
Yep, I completely agree. 855-830-864. Let's go to Philip listening to us in Waukesha. Philip, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. Just can't get any worse, can it?
God, you hope not.
I hope it doesn't. Like you said, maybe hopefully they'll take the high road and they'll learn from this, and then they'll get back on track and get united. My point being is that with Josh Hader and the feelings and the sad part about this is that you know, he's getting bombarded and everything, and what we got to realize is that, you know, the sad thing is that 35 to 40% of the people in this country feel the same way he does. And you've got, you know, the state of Wisconsin voted in a man who talks like this every single day that he's in public, and this is a problem. And you've got the leader of our country that's legitimizing these thoughts, and this is kind of a barometer of what's happening in this country. And I hope that this situation can turn into a positive. And you know, I don't see the Brewers firing him or anything like that. It's, you know, he does have the freedom to say what he wants, but I think you might have said it, or a previous caller, he's got to, you know, and I think he did, you got to take responsibility for this. But he's, you know, this is going to be with him for probably the rest of his life, especially as long as he's in baseball, and he's going to be dealing with booze, and you got to see what kind of character this guy has to get above this. But this is the way the times are right now. We're building a wall to keep out brown people, and a lot of people want to build a wall, and we've got to look inside. Each of us have to look inside before we start yelling and screaming, and determine, you know, what's going on here, and we've got to do something about this, because, you know, we're all Americans. And we, you know, it doesn't matter what color we are. Everybody contributes. Everybody works to make this country better. And we can't, regardless of, well, that's the time he lived in and everything. Well, I lived in the 50s and 60s, and I would have never thought to hate people because they're black or homosexuals or anything like that. Because it's not me. If that's what they want to do, we've got to let them do that. We're always worried about what everybody else is doing instead of taking care of ourselves. And I think that's something we've got to, you know, this is scary, and we've got to stop this.
I appreciate the phone call. It is the whole thing about being the product of the 50s and 60s and such. It doesn't fly. And you don't need to look any further than Marge Schott to see that it doesn't fly. We've been there, done that with somebody in baseball that made comments that was basically run out of the game. It was a different time then than it is now. But I think what baseball's doing is correct. You don't suspend him for something that he did when he was 17. It's not like he said it today. Had he said it now, he'd be suspended, without a doubt.
Yep.
But I think what they're doing is right. You send him to sensitivity training. You let him meet with the media again. Fans are going to hold it against him. They're going to hold it against him. There's nothing you can do about it. You just now have to accept it and move on and try to do better. But the only thing I can say about this, and I just said it in an interview before, is you got to learn from this. You just got to learn from this. The team has to learn from this. The player has to learn from this. We all have to learn from this. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
When I was young, you know, we all say some crazy stuff when we're young. That's one reason why I don't have social media, because, you know, for things like this, you know, you always get in trouble for, you know, things you say when you're younger. So, like I said, we'll move on from it.
Welcome back. Those are the words of Lorenzo Cain of the Milwaukee Brewers. Trying to put a little bit of a spin on this. The words of Josh Hader. At least the tweets of Josh Hader from when he was 17 years old. And many of you are bringing up something that was posted back in 2016. That tweet or post or whatever it is, it's floating around out there, at least according to many, is photoshopped. It's erroneous. It was somebody that I guess is trying to pour gas on the fire, so to speak. So what Major League Baseball is concerned with, is looking at, it was the tweets from when he was 17 years old from years ago. And the one that's out there that people are claiming to be real from 2016 is erroneous, just so you know. So if somebody passes it along to you, just say, hey, it's been, I guess, at least according to many sources, it's been proven to be false. That's photoshopped. So 855-830-8648. And if you want to give us a shout, please feel free to do so. In the meantime, we continue to take our spin around the National League Central, and let's take a look at the Pittsburgh perspective of things. Jim Colony from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Enjoying. Actually, you know, this is a tough time for us sports talk people. There's not right. a whole heck of a lot going on, but luckily there's always something that pops up, and so business is still booming, relatively speaking, in Pittsburgh.
Well, you know, here in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin, northern, you know, area here, not the best. I mean, there's something that's popped up, don't get me wrong, but it's not the best outlook for the Milwaukee Brewers and more so for Josh Hader. So let me ask you this. This Pittsburgh team, I had said going into that series, this is almost a playoff series for them, because if they're going to keep any hope alive, they have got to get at least four wins over the Milwaukee Brewers, and damned if they didn't sweep them out of a five-game series. So does this all of a sudden give a shot of adrenaline in not only the team but into the fan base?
Well, it has to, because it really was kind of a last-ditch thing. I'm sure you talked about it a week ago when GM Neil Huntington, he does a weekly radio show on the network on our station, and also meets with the local media after that. And he said, both really, basically, it wasn't like he laid down an ultimatum, but he basically said, you know, there's eight games here between now and the break, and 4-4 is not going to cut it. And wouldn't you know, as you mentioned, the Pirates, they go 7-1, including a sweep of the Brewers. So all of a sudden, there's a lot of positivity, and wouldn't you know, the Pirates have to take 4 days off for the All-Star break. So maybe not the best timing there. You know, I don't know. It doesn't really matter. They can kind of reset their pitching staff, which they really didn't reset all that much. You got Cincinnati coming up. I know they've been playing better lately, but they're in last place. So it's there in front of the Pirates still. But the thing is what we've seen from this Pirates team, like they were 11-4. They were 26-17. And then they were the worst team in baseball after I guess Kansas City had been pretty bad. But you know what I'm saying? In other words, they were just awful after, you know, from May 18th until actually last week. And they could just as easily revert to that mode over the next week or so. But, you know, everybody said, you know, so a big topic, what we'll talk about is, should the Pirates be buyers? Should the Pirates be sellers? They still have to wait another week. You know, I think that Neil Huntington should be engaged with teams about potentially trying to pick up some help at the trade deadline. But at the same time, you know, they could undo all this feel-good stuff that we got last week in fairly short order, you know, by, I don't know, giving up a bunch of home runs and getting swept by the Reds, which is entirely possible.
Looking at this team moving forward, will there be any, shall we say, inclusion of trades? Will they try to make a move to maybe better themselves? Or is this a stand pat team? Or is this a team that's considering to be sellers?
Like I said, I don't think they know right now. I think the front office should be engaged in dialogue with teams to just in case of both scenarios. Here's another thing, though. It's really easy to say, oh, the Pirates want to be sellers. Okay, who do you want off the Pirate roster? You guys see the Pirates play. Mm-hmm. Who do you want that the Pirates would be willing to trade? Francisco Cervelli. Oh, wait a minute. He's on the concussion disabled list for at least the second or third time this year. And that is an issue, by the way, that, you know, a lot of us, I wouldn't be surprised if Cervelli's back next week. I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden he decides he can't play again, or if he plays, he wouldn't be able to catch again. How about Jordy Mercer? Really good shortstop, steady, not much of a bat, but he's a real steady fielder. He's not going to hurt you. Well, nobody seems to want him. Josh Harrison, maybe as a complimentary player, but he's been inconsistent this season. Any of the pitchers that another team would want, like say Felipe Vasquez, Pirates aren't going to trade him. And now all of a sudden they've got other guys that are playing well. They might want to still hang on to Corey Dickerson. Dickerson would be a guy that might have some value for people. Not a lot of power, but he's a nice, you know, he's been the Pirates' most consistent hitter all season. Has a really good patient approach at the plate. You guys saw that over the weekend. He might be available because he'll be another year of arbitration next year. But I'm not so sure what kind of value he has with other teams. And you know, so I don't think the Pirates know. I hate to be wishy-washy here, but I honestly don't think the Pirates know. And I don't think they really should know until they play another week's worth of games.
Talking with Jim Colony and 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. What is the fan? I mean, just in noticing the crowds as the Brewers were there, what has the fan reaction been? They got off to a very hot start. There was a lot of people that didn't believe in them. Sure enough, they started to falter. They come back, they get some wins. But what is the fan reaction there right now? What are fans expecting out of this team?
That silence was on purpose. Because that's the thing is that you saw the crowds over the weekend, or lack thereof. Attendance is down. Now, I know attendance is down across the board in Major League Baseball, but attendance is, I think, only Miami, I still call them Florida, I think only Miami has had a bigger drop in attendance percentage-wise, and those guys actually came right out and said that they were, I mean, you look at the guys that they sold off. They were all in the All-Star game. So I think fans are disillusioned because they went through 20 years without postseason baseball, and then you had the euphoria of that wild card game in 2013, and they came within, you know, a few feet of Andrew McCutchen winning the series in the ninth inning of game four against St. Louis. And then they lose two wild card games. And then instead of adding to a team that won 98 games in 2015, they just didn't do anything. In fact, they traded Neil Walker for John Neese. I mean, really. So they got worse. And then I think the fan perception is that they care more about whether the Pirates win than the owner does. And I think it's taken a couple years, but then this year, even with a good start, you know, the weather's bad, school nights and all that stuff, people didn't show up. And because they feel that they've invested more in the team emotionally and in some cases financially, by buying season tickets and by showing up at the ballpark and averaging 30,000 people a game to see winning baseball, that they care more than ownership does. And so they've stopped coming. And even when they got off to that good start, they couldn't monetize that. And then they started playing like garbage. So that when they come home for a 10-game, actually was it an 11-game? I don't know if it was a 10 or 11-game homestand, because they had that makeup game. All these home games, and people just decided, I'm just not going to go. And it's sad. you know, you get to know them. You're in this position too. I cover spring training for a couple of weeks every year, and you really get a chance to kind of chat and get to know some of these guys. And I'll call them kids because I'm 62. It's really a good group of guys. It really is. And it's not like they're terrible on purpose. But they're not going to get the support. They deserve support. I think they do, and yet they're not getting it. Not because the fans don't like the players, but it's because they don't think that ownership is investing in the product.
Yeah, and that's hard on any clubhouse, you know, anywhere you go, when they think that ownership upstairs just doesn't care about what's going on inside those walls, no doubt.
And then they didn't, you know. And I still say, I know this is an unpopular opinion. The Gerrit Cole trade was not bad. It really wasn't. I think Joe Musgrove can be okay. He's not as good as Gerrit Cole. All right. Colin Moran, I think, is going to be okay at third base. And they have a Jason Martin was promoted double-A to triple-A as an outfielder who's got a chance, I think, to make it. And then Michael Feliz he's Michael Feliz. But I also use the adjective okay to describe two of the guys they got. You know, the trade has a chance to, you know, it's not a disaster. But at the same time, the public perception, you traded our best pitcher, you know, Andrew McCutchen, the return for him hasn't been great. Kyle Kirk in the bullpen is starting to do okay. And they've got another, I keep forgetting the kid's name, but another outfielder in the minors that has a chance to make it at some point. But, you know, the return there wasn't all that great, but fans were disillusioned. And there hasn't been anything except this past week to point toward that. And I don't even know, you know what? I don't even know if they go into Cincinnati and Cleveland and say they win 4 out of 6, 5 out of 6, I'd be really interested to see what that would translate into in terms of attendance when the Pirates return home.
Great stuff as always, Jim. We certainly appreciate it. We'll chat again soon, okay?
Okay, talk to you later.
Appreciate it. There you go. Jim Colony, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, giving us a lowdown on the Pittsburgh Pirates, who also, since May 29th, have only put up 20 wins, much like the Milwaukee Brewers. But as of recently, they've been able to win quite a few more ball games. You get them into the month of July, they started off kind of tough with losing a three-game series to the L.A. Dodgers. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Philadelphia Phillies, but then they beat the Nationals 2 out of 3, and then obviously they faced the Brewers, and they won 5 straight there. So 7 out of their last 8 ball games, they were able to win. They probably didn't want the Midsummer Classic to come at this point in time when you start to get hot, but they start off against a Reds team that has had a +500 record since Rickelman took over. Then they face the interleague play of the Cleveland Indians before they then get the Mets and then the Cubs at home. So as he had stated, you know, look, you're going to find out in the next week or two as to where the Pittsburgh Pirates are, probably about the time the Cubs come a-calling. So if they feel they have a legitimate shot with the Reds, the Cleveland Indians, and the New York Mets, then maybe a deal gets done. But if not, then they're probably going to be sellers. Therefore, you're going to look for the Cubs to come in and maybe beat up on them a little bit. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. Your car, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Marshfield Clinic Health System, who fixed me up. And if you notice the voice today as compared to a Monday and Tuesday, it's a lot better thanks to the Marshfield Clinic. They're the ones. I called them, said, got to get some antibiotics. Can you help me out? And they did. Great people there. Cared about my health and well-being, and sure enough, starting to feel better. Finally made the turn last night, and feeling a little bit better today, and hopefully, you know, tomorrow and the next day and the next day, continue to feel better and better and better as the weekend approaches and as the trip approaches. Going to be out of here all next week. But thanks to the Marshfield Clinic. Care my way. Call them 844-CARE-WAY. That's 844-CARE-WAY, and maybe they can get you a prescription sent to a pharmacy near you. And if they can't, they don't charge you. And the best part about it is they just say, hey, you got to go see the doc. And if you need to go see the doc, so be it. But if not, they can help you out. It's a fantastic way to get treated if you got something that's ailing you. All you have to do is, again, call them, 844-CARE-AWAY. That's 844-CARE-AWAY. Coming up after the top of the hour, we're going to get the national perspective on this. Our buddy Seth Everett, our national baseball insider, we're going to talk with him about the National League Central. We'll talk with him also about what's gone on in the last, really, less than 24 hours regarding the Josh Hader tweets. And Major League Baseball has said, if you are just tuning us in, they will not suspend Josh Hader, which I never expected them to. He did it before he was a Major League Baseball player. You know, that would be like, you know, suddenly, you know, the government outlawing aspirin and everybody gets arrested whoever took aspirin in their life because it's an illegal drug now. It's not going to happen. So he's going to go to sensitivity training. I'm sure at some point, most likely on Friday prior to the game, he's going to meet with the media at some point and express his side of things and his sorrow. And then he's going to take care of this. And then after that, you know, so be it. We'll wait and see. And also, we're going to wait and see what the reaction is from inside the clubhouse.
You got to think every baseball team, and maybe a lot of these major sports teams in the NBA, NFL, wherever, I wonder if there's damage control right now where you're going back through player's Twitter account to see what they posted when they were 17 or 18 and making sure that they're not effective either. Because really, I mean, you think about people who run their social media departments, this might be something new that they're going to have to do now when it comes to bringing players in. They're going to have to look at their social media to see if there's anything bad on there and then ask that person to remove it.
No doubt. They're going to and if you don't, there but for the grace of God.
Yep. Get ready for the backlash.
Get ready because, as a wise man once said, with success comes exposure. And that's when people start looking into everything. And Josh Hader is no different. So we'll continue to discuss. We'll get the national perspective on this coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me.
And do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these."
At Young Express,
we believe children are a tremendous gift from God. And that is why each year we partner with 105.7 FM The Fan to sponsor the Give Kids the World golf outing. This helps provide cost-free vacations for terminally ill children and their families. You can help by joining us on the course or making a donation at givekidstheworld.org.
Together we can make a difference.
Sunday jackpots at Pottawatomie. They can happen at any time, any seat, any dollar amount. Just play slots Sundays, July 8th through August 26th, and you've got a random shot at winning a share of up to $100,000 each week. No club card necessary. Real big, real odds, real people, real random. Only at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Visit paysbig.com/random for details. Must be at least 21 years old to play.
If you suffer from ED and you've seen your doctor about the little blue pill, you know it can be expensive. And seeing the doctor and waiting at the pharmacy can be a hassle. What if I told you that a certain little blue pill just came off patent December 11th, and that same active ingredient that's in the little blue pill is now available in generic form, available to you for just $30 for a month's supply? That's a big discount. No more getting ripped off by the big pharma companies. With 4hims.com, you can bypass the doctor's office, pharmacy visit, and save huge money on your prescription ED meds. Just go to 4hims.com/love. Consult with a licensed physician, and following their confidential medical review, you can have the proper prescription delivered directly to your door for a fraction of the price. And today, while supplies last, you can get started with a trial month for just $5. That's right, $5. Here's what you do. Just go to 4hims.com, forhims.com/love today, and get started for just $5 while supplies last. Visit 4hims.com/love right now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.